This morning, we'd like to share some reflections about how to practice here on this retreat. And it's helpful sometimes to, before we think about how to practice, to remember why we practice. We are opening our awareness to the processes of our bodies and minds, using awareness and mindfulness to learn about this human experience. And in particular, to learn and be curious about how our minds contribute to the ways that we struggle. There's lots of things going on in the world that can be challenging, even more than challenging. And yet we may, at least before we really start to look at our minds and see what's going on, we might think that our happiness, our ability to be at ease or at peace is dependent on things in the world changing. Things being different than they already are, things being different. And this is really one of the keys of what the Buddha discovered, is that our happiness, our ease and peace of mind are not dependent on what's happening in the world. And this is really, really good news. That there's a way in which when we are struggling, there's participation of our own minds, a way in which we're fighting, resisting, pulling, pushing, these three qualities of greed, aversion, and delusion that the Buddha really highlighted as being the source of our suffering. And so we begin to see as we investigate that there are parts of our own processes, what's going on in our own minds, that are contributing to our suffering. And so we learn about these processes, and the learning about these processes through this exploration helps to shift the mind so that it can let go of these aspects of greed, aversion, and delusion, and open into a place of ease and peace. That this ease and peace is not kind of, we might think about peace as being, yeah, whatever, everything's good. But that's not the way our system responds. As greed, aversion, and delusion fall away and our mind becomes at ease and peaceful, it is not just, oh yeah, everything's good. It's these things may need to be changed. These things may require action, but the actions that we come from are no longer from the places of greed, aversion, and delusion, but rather from compassion, kindness, wisdom, generosity, caring. And so the learning about our minds through this practice opens us to an ease of heart that can be responsive rather than reactive to the situations in the world. And a lot of what we do is observe, especially on a retreat like this. We do step back in this kind of container, we step back and really explore opening to just what's here, to begin to see the greed, the aversion that's kind of enmeshed with all of our habitual ways of responding. It takes time for that to fall away. It takes time for that transformation. And so times of retreat like this help us to really begin to tease apart the responses, the reactions that are coming from greed, aversion, and delusion, and the very, also very natural and normal movement of heart to make change in the face of suffering and injustice. That teasing these apart, we can be more skillful in our response to situations. And so we'll be exploring how to be present with things as they are, as Alexis brought in that phrase yesterday. Things as they are, things as they have come to be, things as they already are, learning to open to that. And beginning to see where we add, how our minds are adding to that, creating our struggle, creating our reactivity. And so this form of practice we'll be looking at for these days is a very open, receptive style of practice where we are interested in learning about our minds. And we explore this, we open to this from a very open perspective to just receive what's happening, not directing the attention, not picking a particular object to focus on, but really opening to the entirety of our experience, right from the beginning. Many forms of meditation structure the practice by starting with something a little more focused, like the breath, which can create conditions that the mind can settle some before opening to other experience. In this practice, we really begin by just looking at the whole show. And this cultivates cultivates a very broad kind of stability of mind, where our minds begin to learn how to be less reactive, and we learn about how our minds work by just seeing what they get up to. So sitting in the hall, you know, you might be being attentive to your experience, and then there's some coughing, and that coughing is just another experience to notice. Maybe there's some reaction, maybe there's some aversion there. That needs to be noticed. So we are looking at how we are with our experience, not just what our experience is, but how we are with it. And so the practice that we're exploring is basically a receptive style of awareness, where we're not focusing. We kind of settle back, and in a way we can think about what experience is most obvious? What is coming to us? So that's a kind of, you know, basic overview framework of the practice, and the teaching that Saito Utejaniya offers is really simple. I mean, the instructions, I can say them in just a few sentences. We notice that we're aware. And we notice what awareness is aware of in that moment. Just what's obvious? What's obvious? And then we also check in from time to time. How are we in relationship to what is happening? Beginning to check in and see, is there some kind of reactivity in the mind in relationship to what's happening? And that's a lot of where the learning happens. It's not that we're trying to get rid of those reactions, but we're trying to learn and understand about them. It is the understanding that transforms those reactions, not some idea that this should not be here. That's just aversion again. So one of the key supports for our practice is relaxation. As Alexis mentioned last night, as we relax, there's a very natural way, we could say there's a natural way that our bodies and minds are aware when there's relaxation. In fact, I think that our human system is designed to be aware of experience when we're not kind of caught up in thoughts of past or future or present. That's what our system's designed to do. And so as we can relax, we can begin to touch into that very natural process that is so kind of just connected to our human experience. And so relaxation. Relaxing the body helps the mind to relax. And the mind being relaxed, when the mind is relaxed, it's basically naturally aware. And so we start a lot, we emphasize relaxation a lot. And then once there is some measure of relaxation, we'll do a guided meditation in a few minutes, and we'll start by exploring relaxation, you know, settling the body, settling the mind, noticing where there's tension in the body and consciously relaxing it. And as we're doing that, that is, in a way, it is a form of directing the attention. We are using mindfulness to support the body and mind to relax, because that creates condition for this more natural awareness to be present. And so once there's some measure of relaxation in the body and mind, we begin to check in, begin to recognize that awareness. That's very natural. We may begin to notice that we are aware. Right now, are you aware? As I mentioned last night, we may or may not quite know how we know we're aware. And yet the mind can know that it is here, it is present. We might not quite know how, but that's okay. You know, if you're asking that question, or if you reflect on that, am I aware? And you are conscious of the meaning of that reflection. You are aware. And so, you know, sometimes we use the question, am I aware, to support a recognition or kind of a connection with that recognition of awareness. And so if you remember to ask the question, and it's not just like a mantra going in your mind, am I aware, am I aware? If you remember to ask the question and you know what you're asking, you get to answer yes. You are aware. And so you might wonder, why bother then even asking the question? But what I found is helpful about doing that, about actually asking that question, is it begins to make the mind interested in the experience of being aware. We may not quite know how to touch into that at first. We just know that we're aware. We don't really know what, I mean, it feels kind of mysterious. What is that experience of being aware? So this question, am I aware, can have the mind start to be kind of curious about, well, okay, yeah, I'm aware. What is this experience? And so the question about awareness helps to point the mind to recognizing the experience of awareness. And so it's not a useless question. It actually helps us to begin to touch into that experience. And so we start noticing that we're aware. And then what's obvious? What's the most obvious experience right now? And often it's some physical experience, maybe the contact of your hips against the chair, cushion or bench, or maybe your hands or feet. Maybe it's seeing if your eyes are open or hearing. What's most obvious? Maybe there's a mood that's strong or an emotion. What's obvious in this moment? And so this is the basic mindfulness practice that we're exploring. Am I aware, touching into that? And what's obvious? What's obvious? Moment after moment, we explore this. Am I aware? What's obvious? And so mindfulness, at the beginning, needs some support. Alexis used the analogy of the swing last night, that when a swing's at a standstill, you need a little bit of effort to get the swing going. Either, you know, somebody to push, get a little bit of momentum, or maybe a little bit of the pumping action. So there's some effort that needs to happen at the beginning, a little bit more to get the momentum started. And yet, we often over-effort. We do more than we really need to do. So right now, can you notice the sensations of your hands? The sound of my voice. A breath. And as I name each area, how hard is it to know that for that moment? That level of effort. It's not so hard to be aware for a moment. What is more challenging for us and where we tend to get tight is in the attempt to sustain the awareness. We tend to perhaps think we need to make a lot of effort at the beginning. I'm going to be sitting for half an hour. Really need to bring up the effort. It's like we're trying to put enough momentum into that swing to have it be going for the whole 45 minutes right in that first moment. But what's really called for instead is just a little bit of effort right now. And then do it again. Just that amount to notice the sensations of your hands. Doesn't take a lot to know that for a moment. And then do it again. What's next? What's obvious now? The sound of my voice. Your breath. Just enough effort to be present for a moment. And then do it again. Light touch, moment after moment. Gentle, light touch. At the beginning of a retreat, or even at the beginning of a sitting sometimes, we may need to remind ourselves more frequently. Just reminding ourselves, yes, Am I aware? What's obvious? As the momentum develops, and this is part of the art of meditation, and we'll speak about this more in the coming days. As the momentum develops, we don't need to remind ourselves as much. The momentum carries us for a while. And we may begin to notice the swings start to slow down, and so add a little effort. Likewise, we may start to notice the momentum of the mindfulness begin to wane, and then add a little bit of intention. Aware? Of what? And we begin to learn that experience of awareness and tune the effort to how much momentum of awareness there is. And the combination of this mindfulness and effort together, as the momentum of mindfulness develops and grows, this momentum of the mindfulness is a form of concentration. Often people ask, where is the place of concentration in this practice? And this is it. The momentum of the mindfulness creates a stability of the awareness. That stability of the mindfulness keeps us from getting lost, is able to meet more and more of what's happening in the present moment. Concentration in this practice is really defined as the stability of the mindfulness. Often we think of concentration as the ability for the mind to stay with one object, like the breath, for a long time. But here, the concentration, and this concentration is described in the Buddhist texts as moment-to-moment concentration. That moment-to-moment, the mind is steady and stable. It's not pulled off based on whatever's happening. And this creates a concentration that can be very, very strong, has a lot of the same qualities that the stability of mind on a single object has. And so this is our basic practice. Am I aware? What is obvious? Cultivating that to develop the stability of mindfulness. And of course the mind will wander. If you're not so familiar with this practice, it may even seem to be wandering more, or it may be wandering more. It's not always wandering more. It may just seem to be, but it can wander more if you're new to this practice. And so just some tips for dealing with that, working with that. You know, when the mind is wandering, there's not much to do about it. We're not aware. There is a moment when awareness returns, mindfulness returns. That moment is a great moment. We become aware again. And in that moment, when mindfulness returns, it's actually a really lovely time to start to recognize what it is to be aware. Because there's a little bit of a difference as mindfulness returns, as it comes out of the lostness. As mindfulness returns, there's a kind of the contrast between the lostness and the mindfulness returning can highlight the experience of awareness right there much more clearly. And so that moment as mindfulness returns, if you can, you know, not worry about how many times your mind gets lost, but get curious about that moment of mindfulness returning and how it can help you to recognize awareness itself. Sometimes that can turn around the judgment that we often have in that moment. It's like, oh, here's awareness again. Wow, what's that like? And so in that moment when awareness returns, Notice that. Notice mindfulness has returned. And then it can be also helpful in that moment to check in. Has tension crept in? Because often when our mind wanders, it gets involved in stuff in our mind and our habits kind of return, often involving some kind of physical holding or mental holding. And so as the mindfulness returns, it can be useful to take some time to relax again. If there has been tension that has crept in, relax the body, relax the mind again. And then just simply start again of aware. What's here? What's obvious? And then the way that we begin to really understand our minds, and we start with just this getting the momentum of the mindfulness going, but checking in from time to time about how we are in relationship to the experience. Because so often we can be paying attention to something with a hidden attitude, a hidden agenda, wanting something to happen, wanting something to go away, or maybe confusion or some kind of view or belief about what needs to be going on. And so from time to time, it's really useful to check in. How am I in relationship to experience? Sayadaw Utejaniya suggests the question, what's the attitude? If that resonates for you, that language, what's the attitude in the mind? That can be a useful question. Other questions, very similar, like, how am I with this? What's the relationship to this? Now, this checking in on the attitude, checking in on the relationship, it's not meant to try to figure it out, not to go searching for it. It's more to just open the mind to the possibility that it might know something that was kind of hidden behind the scenes. So dropping in that question, how am I with this? It's kind of like pushing the doorbell. You're just hanging out at the door and waiting to see what answers the door. You're not breaking down the door to get on the other side. It's just, what's the attitude? Something may or may not show up. But if it does, then, you know, you might notice, oh, want something to change. Don't like that. That's the relationship. There's a pain in my leg and I don't like it. If you notice that, so checking the attitude, recognizing a relationship, the encouragement is kind of just to broaden the kind of the container of our mindfulness to include that. No, that's also happening. Oh, there's a pain in my knee and not liking is happening. There's not a lot we have to do other than allow that to be included in what we are aware of. So we'll talk more about the attitude much more in the days to come. But this just this morning, the basic practice. Relax. Am I aware? What's obvious? And from time to time, checking the relationship to the experience. And so we'll practice together now. Some of you have been sitting and practicing this whole time, but let's just find ourselves into a posture that feels comfortable, alert. And we'll begin with some time for relaxation because it is so helpful. And I, at the beginning of a retreat, I will take my time with this. And so we'll do a little bit of a scan through the body and see where there's tension, relaxing, releasing. And so starting at the top of your head and face, seeing if there's any tension held there, and softening the muscles of your head and face, around your eyes, your mouth, your jaw. Relaxing the muscles of the neck and shoulders. The arms and hands. Checking in the chest and upper back, seeing if there's a way to soften that area, all those muscles around the rib cage. Sometimes a deeper breath supports a relaxation in that area, allowing a stretching of all those muscles around the rib cage on the in-breath and a softening on the out-breath. Relaxing the muscles of the stomach and abdomen, maybe letting those muscles hang forward a little bit, seeing if they can soften. Sometimes we hold that area very habitually, seeing if there can be a softening of the stomach and abdomen. Relaxing the middle and lower back. The hips, relaxing the legs, the upper legs, often another area we hold tension habitually, the legs. Maybe even there can be a softening deep inside the hip socket. Relaxing the knees, the lower legs, the feet. And then I also find it useful, and this over time for me becomes a kind of a shortcut relaxation, is checking in more deeply inside of the body and seeing if there can be a softening in this visceral area. And so maybe the inside of the throat can relax. Maybe the heart, the area around the heart can relax. Maybe the stomach and the intestines can relax. It's really allowing all of the muscles and organs to be supported by the earth and release to the pull of gravity. Relaxing the body. And then maybe too, the mind can relax. As we relax the body, it supports the mind to relax. But sometimes there can be a little bit of letting go there too. And one way, kind of almost an analogy that can support the mind to relax, Gill sometimes suggests, just as if your brain were a muscle. Maybe the brain can relax. So as the body and mind relax, whatever extent there's relaxation at this point, Just checking in. Are you aware? You don't have to go trying to figure it out. Just a simple, yeah, I know I'm aware. And what is obvious? What's the most obvious experience right now? Maybe some body sensation. A pressure, a tension, heat or coolness. Might be sound, either sound in the room, quiet sounds might be kind of present, or the sound of my voice, or sometimes there's inner sounds in our body. Or it might be a mood or an emotion that's most obvious. Are you aware? What is obvious? Relax. Our mind very naturally knows how to be aware. We don't have to do that. Relax. Recognize the awareness. And what is obvious? If you're very familiar with a directed attention practice, and this is new for you, it can be, sometimes it can support the mind to start with something, just a really obvious experience. It might be the breath, or it might be some obvious body sensation. Just to recognize, oh yes, this is what it is like to be aware of an experience. But you don't need to hold on to that and try to stay with it. You're welcome to notice it. And then keep checking in. What's obvious now? At some point, something else will be more obvious than that thing. And that's what to pay attention to in that moment. Oh, now it's a sound that's more obvious. Or, oh, now it's this other body sensation that's more obvious. Another word that can be useful here in noticing what's obvious is, rather than trying to look for what is obvious, just settle back and receive. Let the experience come to you. Kind of just be there, willing to let the experience show up. Relax. Receive. Receive the experience. And the mind will wander. The moment that you notice that, see if you can attune to the awareness that has returned. Aware again. This is awareness. You You can check in to what's being received there. And yet sometimes in coming out of thought, there can be a pull back to the thought. So it can be useful to just check in. Is there tension? Is there tension or ease in the mind as this awareness returns? Sometimes there'll be a kind of a tension that has crept in as the mind has wandered off. If that's happened, just take the time to relax the body, relax the mind again. And then, aware, what's obvious? There are times after the mind has been wandering off that when awareness returns, there is actually more ease and relaxation than was there before the mind wandered. If we don't notice that, sometimes we'll just slip back in. But sometimes we can just kind of attune to that. Oh, there's awareness, and wow, there's kind of a pleasant relaxation in the body. That can be known. That can support the mind to be present. Are you aware? What is obvious? A light touch, gently reminding ourselves to be aware. What's obvious now? How about now? How about now? And from time to time, checking in, how am I with this experience? What's the relationship? What's the attitude? Do I want something to happen? Do I want something to stop happening? Maybe there's confusion or an idea about something, how something should be. Or maybe, just maybe, in checking, how am I with experience? It might be, this is okay. That too is an attitude. The attitude, wise attitude, that is able to be with whatever is happening. Without needing something else to happen. We find our way to wise attitude by recognizing the things that get in its way, the resistances and the wantings and the confusions and beliefs. And so when we notice, oh, what's the relationship? Not liking, wanting that to stop. That's what's happening. Maybe there can be an okayness that holds, there's this thing happening that I don't like. Not liking in relationship to that unpleasant experience. And the mind can know that. That's okay. It's not a problem to know not liking is happening. In fact, this is a lot of where the learning unfolds. Are you aware? What is obvious? Relax and receive. Sometimes we can get into a place where it's very simple to just receive and allow the awareness to just follow the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Following the attention. Are you aware? What is obvious? So those are the basic instructions, and we'll elaborate on these over the days. Alexis is going to offer some instructions on walking, but just a few announcements before. At 1:45 this afternoon, I'll be in here and I'll offer a guided meditation that will be a little more extended. The time is a little compressed this morning because there's a lot of instructions to kind of orient the practice. And we do have our schedule, so we have the yogi jobs that start at 9:30. So at 1:45, I'll be offering a guided meditation. But what we'd like you to do is to play with these instructions, and not only in the sitting, in the walking, as Alexis will say. And then at 4:00 this afternoon at the Dhamma offering, we'll have time for questions. We'll probably say a few words at the beginning to fill out the instructions a little bit more, but there'll be time for questions. And so we want you to practice with the instructions and then bring your questions to the 4:00 sitting. Mm-hmm.